Hello. My name is Marla McFadden, and I am the current board president. It was suggested that one of the things that I might do as part of this service is to offer you an overview of the leadership model that we use here at REEB. This was developed by a fellow by the name of Dan Hotchkiss, and it has two components, governance and ministry. Ministry is the largest section. It's led by the minister and the other paid staff, those being, of course, the director of RE, director of music, the office administrator, and it's populated by the rest of us, the unpaid staff, the worker bees, the folks on all the committees and the teams and the task forces, people who volunteer, people show up for services on Sunday, anyone who lights a candle for joys and concerns. In other words, the ministry is the engine that powers the work of the congregation. Ministry is where it's happening. Which then brings us to governance. That's the domain of the Board of Trustees. Essentially, the job of the Board of Trustees is to focus on the mission of the congregation. The board communicates with folks on the ministry side and creates policy, sets guidelines, and provides accountability to determine how best to use the resources to support our mission. To accomplish that, the board has a handful of committees which monitor those congregational resources. There's the Finance Committee, which is responsible for funding, the Building Stewardship Committee, which makes sure that the building is maintained well and is safe to occupy. There's also the Nominating Committee that's tasked with finding people to take on leadership roles. There are also committees that meet as necessary to oversee the endowment fund and to prepare our annual budget. Right now, also under the purview of the board, we have the COVID-19 Strategic Task Force, who are doing some incredibly complicated work monitoring federal, state, local information and protocols in order to help us with guidances for safe gatherings and building use. So you've got these two sections, governance and ministry, and they often commingle and coordinate, communicate back and forth with each other to keep things running smoothly. The model actually works very well for us, at least. It's very helpful in organizing and focusing our resources. That said, I will tell you that I find it, the model, a little convoluted and tangly sometimes. I also don't believe that anyone is going to be so fascinated by this system of governance and ministry that they will choose to join the board in order to immerse themselves in it. Let me bring you back to the purpose of the board. As I mentioned before, that is to uphold the congregational mission. And that's really what it's all about. You folks got together. You came up with a list of values, with a set of values, things that you believed in, ways that you wanted to comport yourselves. You wanted to be guided by these values, and you asked yourself, we've got these values. Now, what do we do with them? How can we put them to use? So we all got together and we came up with this beautiful mission statement. You wanted to welcome the seeker. You wanted to cultivate community. You wanted to nurture spiritual wholeness, and you wanted to grow justice in the world. So when I feel a little overwhelmed by the tangle of governance and ministry, or when I lose sight of sort of the purpose of it all, I just look over and I see this beautiful, warm, glowing, shimmering essence, this ball of energy that is the mission of the congregation. Why do I serve on the Board of Trustees? It's because of you all. I have seen, and I still see, this congregation in action. I see you being generous to whatever extent you are able with your time and your talent and your treasure. I see you offer these things with so much good intention and with humor. I look out, I see your faces and your personalities and your spirit. And I want to reflect that back to you. I want to promote it. I want to amplify it. I want to bounce it out in all kinds of different directions so that others can see it too. Being a member of the board grants me the privilege of doing that. So why would you want to be on the board? Who wouldn't want to be on that team? On that team that reflects all that beautiful energy and all that wonderful intention out into the world. Thanks.
Thanks, Marla. So I was asked to join the board over a year ago as an at-large member, and I hesitated at first, since I am not one who loves meetings, even in-person meetings, which now seem like heaven in comparison to all the Zoom meetings. I had been on the membership team for a few years, and I enjoyed that, since there was a lot to do, as well as people to meet, and I enjoy doing things and meeting people. The board, on the other hand, I just wasn't so sure about. But then I thought, heck, I have been a member of this congregation for 13 years, and I have never served on the board. So maybe it's my turn to give back in this way. So here I am now in my second year, a year that's been as different from the first year, or at least the start of the first year, as it could possibly be. Memories from the first 8 meetings of my 2-year stint flicker through my mind. There was a minister of delight who brought yummy snacks and presented them in delectable ways. Yes, we actually shared food back then. There were warm smiles in the glow of the lit chalice, no masks needed. Karen's sweet laugh, Glenn's off-the-wall humor, folks waxing philosophical as they checked in, Bev leading us through the agenda that we could actually hold paper copies of in our hands. There were the Roberts Rules of Order that I was just learning about, and which I still don't know everything about, but I am grateful for, since they definitely help keep us on track. And as everyone knows, many of us at REEB seem to love getting off track. As well as the antidotes to white supremacy culture that we spent around 20 minutes discussing at each meeting. These were really powerful for me. I enjoyed those discussions. They got me thinking about how to work against the aspects of this culture that dominate our society and which so many people are still willing to go along with. It felt good to be part of a leadership team that was willing to go there with some of these uncomfortable discussions, in order to help each other open our own eyes so that we could assist in opening others' eyes within our congregation. In the fall, we had a day-long retreat at the downtown public library, which, yes, was open back then. And we spent some great time sharing, expressing concerns, and continuing our in-depth discussion of our attitudes and feelings surrounding white supremacy culture. These actual 3D meetings were indeed a joyful experience, with the required snacks, of course, breaks, the talking stick, side jokes, and the spiritual component our group felt being all together in one place at one time. Fast forward to March, when suddenly our meetings became virtual. Despite the efficiency of a Zoom meeting, they ironically seemed to require more organization and planning than the in-person kind. Thank you, Bev, and thank you, Marla. They also feel like a mere skeleton version of a meeting to me, without the flesh, blood, and personality of being physically together. Bev, of course, our president at the time, continued to lead us, but without the support of Karen, who had left on her sabbatical. Bev had so much on her plate that the rest of us were continually trying to compensate by helping out in whatever way we could. I, for one, did not do my share. Bev ended up doing a stellar job, despite all, though I do think she acquired a few more gray hairs in the process. So now we do our Zoom, we do our best on Zoom meetings each month, continuing to follow the Roberts rules and the agenda items. It's been a while since we've widened the circle with any anti-racist discussions. We've been working on adhering to the time better, but it's hard. So now we're going to read some chapters on our own to keep up. Our basic framework is still in place. We still choose a monthly timekeeper, someone to read introductory and final words, as well as an observer. Karen still lights her chalice and Marla sends out the agenda. We give our reports from our various committees and task forces, reports that we need to have read prior to the meeting. I was recruited by Bev last summer to be the board rep on the COVID task force, and full disclosure, at first I was resistant. Another regular Zoom meeting? I go crazy. I'm a big picture person, and discussing the minutia of detailed rules and intricate policies is not my forte, especially with a group on a computer screen. But I acquiesced and I rose to the challenge, and I'm now serving in this capacity. For what it's worth, I have learned a lot. The good news is that even an old dog like me can get used to a few new tricks. I follow my own procedure every meeting of coming to my dad's place, where I sit in front of his desktop computer so that I can see the materials on Google Drive while simultaneously being on my smartphone for the Zoom meeting. There's a lot I still haven't figured out, but I can at least be present and take part. And I have to say, after so many months have passed, it touches me to see everyone's face on my little phone screen, only four faces at a time on my phone, unfortunately, in the greenish light cast by their computer screens. I want to look into their eyes, and of course I can't, not really, but I can hear their familiar voices, and I know they're there. We are still all in one virtual place at one time. I believe in being of service to my community, and I'm glad I joined the board when I did. And I have had many frustrations with the meetings since they've become virtual. I've had to cope with not being able to do things in the way I would prefer, which has been hard for me. What I thought would be a way to give back has, due to the technology, nearly put me over the edge at times and caused me to want to give up. I guess the challenge has been good for me. How wonderful if and when we can ever go back to meeting in person. Until then, the memories of those in-person meetings, as well as the knowledge that I'm serving in a leadership role here at REEB, as tough as it is these days, will hopefully sustain me. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Kirsten. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to tell our stories about our experiences with James Reeb UU Congregations Board of Trustees. My name is Isaac, and I am currently your president-elect. It's been an honor and a privilege and a hassle and a joy. Over the past few months, I've brought my worries and woes to the Zoom meetings for the Executive Board and the Board of Trustees. And I'm grateful and humbled to report that it's true. We have enough and we are enough. In a schedule filled to the brim with Zoom meetings, it's a serenely glimmering grace that my fellows at REEB check in with each other. And I'm able to receive the peace of prayer and meditation in addition to doing the other work. There is certainly the what of our labor, but for me, it's essential too for our how to ring true. Our organizational structure and procedures surely employ the fifth principle of Unitarian Universalism, the right of conscience and the use of democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. And it's paramount for me that the first and second principles precede the fifth. We affirm and avow the inherent worth and dignity of every person, even a board member with whom we disagree. And we must needs find value, or we must needs value and wield justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. So we congregate to fulfill the mission, indeed. I also wanted to express sincerely that though the context is often dry and the relentlessness of time is baked into, another meeting on my calendar, board work is, in spirit, not unlike a mini hands workday, a coffee hour, a time for all ages, a covenant group. It's welcome to all of you, and it fills the soul. I've said this before, but to me it bears repeating. Isn't it odd that someone whom a lot of you might not know or know much about at all is going to be our board president next year? So I'd like to give a little background how that happened. I got involved at REEB by all the things I just listed. My spouse Megan and I started coming to REEB in autumn of 2018, and by summer the following year, we'd signed our names in the book. We were really attracted to JRUUC by how active the congregation was in terms of social justice and other such things. We found that was really the way to get to know people and make friends by being active. So in addition to hanging out at a coffee hour, we jumped into service. We taught RE last year, and though we missed being at worship, it was invaluable to be with your young ones. Thank you for that opportunity. I really think it was simple enough that I just stayed after church one day for a mini hands work day, and Bev saw me untangling and then rewinding a ball of yarn. I asked her if I could donate some art because the gender-neutral bathroom looked a little bleak. And within days, she responded by asking me to join the building stewardship committee. So she saw my request and raised me a service commitment. After some time on the busk, the nominating committee, I think, had a little difficulty finding anyone with the capacity to give the time required for the board's president-elect position, which says something to the how active of a congregation we are. I think I stood out just as someone with the ability, the time, and the willingness to say yes to this particular service work. I don't disparage the nominating committee or myself. I just say this to say that these opportunities are open to all of you, all of us. Just listen to the spirit if it moves toward the work. One of my favorite things about in-person services is the meditation time, the silence in the room together. I could feel everyone's presence, their intention around me. I've only ever served on the board via this Zoom time. I joined after we'd gone online due to COVID-19. So I do want to share that, as Jeff Goldblum said, life finds a way. Our souls yearn for connection, and the prayers and silences and smiles and jokes over the internet are to me just as real. They're just not immediately physical. Don't let this or anything dissuade you. You may not have the capacity to serve on the board in this particular way. I only implore you to listen to your spirits, to hear what work it moves towards. Greta Thunberg's leadership wasn't seated in her adeptness for scheduling Zoom meetings or navigating Google Drive. It is a wellspring of passion in her and a devotion to others, including animals and our Mother Earth. I am someone easily overwhelmed by our house being on fire. So soothing my soul right now looks like doing what I can in my own garden. It's a joy to tend it and to see justice and love bloom. Thank you for the opportunity to serve the congregation as a member of the board, and thank you for letting me share today.